Blog Talk Radio.
It is.
And it's refreshing to hear that and not at the butt crack of dawn.
You got your volume up? I can hardly hear you.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have. I'm still looking for my mic. I'm still working on unpacking my desk. I have my headset in today.
Hmm.
You know, Wake Up with Reveille is all about uplifting, getting us going in the morning, start of our week, and with a whole lot of faith put in between there. And I don't know if you know this, but this week is actually designated as Neurodiversity Week. It's a chance out of the year to educate mass population on neurodiversity and what it is, but also how to help, you know, individuals struggling with that. And what neurodiversity is autism, ADHD, things with the brain that aren't quite right by scientific, their world. And, you know, I've experienced this in my own world. A lot of these kids, they live in a very cut and dry scientific world. By that, you know, it's got to be proven. It's got to be a fact. They don't understand things. They don't understand theological. But the coolest thing to me, because, you know, both my kids are autistic, is they understand faith. They understand God. And some of these kids have, at a very, very young age, have been able to explain the Big Bang Theory in relevance to proving God exists.
Okay.
And it blows my mind how so many adults don't see that, don't understand it, question faith, question God. And these kids, just for whatever reason, sit there and analyze to figure out ways through modern science to prove that God happened, God existed, Jesus happened.
No, we got to be like little children. We are the little children now.
True. But a lot of these kids are not kids in the sense that it's like watching, there's a new documentary movie on Einstein. And it's actually pretty interesting and pretty accurate. The poor man never thought simple since he was a kid. Drove his mother nuts.
There's his teachers in that simple,
but I truly believe a lot has to do with just that sense of innocence and that openness. You know, these individuals, these kids don't have all these preconceived notions. They're very closed-minded in the sense that it's my way or the highway. but they're so open when it comes to research and understanding and looking at things. To the point where some of these kids get extremely frustrated because they try to defy different laws of gravity. Or different, they try to break the system in a way with their thinking.
Well, it goes back to, are we pioneers or are we settlers? To be a pioneer, you have to be passionately curious, which is what Einstein was.
True.
So we should take that an example and be more explorers than settlers. Why settle
more?
Science tells us we have to allow our faith to jumpstart us. That makes sense?
It does. And you know, that's the sad part of growing up is we lose that innocence. And that creativity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, we lose that imagination.
Yep. Now, today, everybody is either looking at their cell phones, not watching where they're going, stepping out in the traffic, walking into signs, you know, where you have to be aware of your surroundings, please. Because if you're not, nobody else is going to be aware of your surroundings either.
You know, one of the things I was kind of thinking about, you know, I was in a meeting this weekend, and the way they talk about neurodiversity and, like, autism is that it's, you know, on this rampage, right? It's
mm-hmm.
the new big thing. Well, I started thinking about it this weekend, and it kind of hit me this morning when I was getting ready for this. You know, did God make these kids this way? As helping to revive faith. You know, faith has been on a downfall. Since, you know, the 60s, more in the 70s. And doesn't it say in the Bible to use the children?
Use them as an example.
Yes, but that's what these kids are doing is that they are literally finding connections between scientific fact to reach the scientists, the archaeologists, the people that only live in the fact world that denounce science or denounce faith because it's not scientific. And they're sitting there. I mean, if these kids with a nonlinear thinking that live in a scientific world and do not understand abstract in the sense like we do, are able to understand faith, and they are open and talk about it all the time. Because these kids, once they get a thought in their head, they will beat it down until you understand it.
Yeah.
Is it the way to bring... Yeah. You know, is this the way to bring in faith, to get people to understand there is that connection between the scientific world and faith world? You just have to change the way you're looking at things.
Spanish Inquisition happened. They didn't want to change. They did not want to accept the scientific with the faith. It was either their way or the highway.
And that's really the, when you say it that way, it really what brings up what we're the world we're living in now.
Oh yeah.
We don't have that acceptance anymore where it's okay to disagree with what you believe in. And you meet in the middle, it's you believe what I believe or we're gonna cancel you. And we live in a world where comedians have to edit what they say. Seriously? Afraid of, you know, getting sued or canceled because they said something inappropriate? Isn't that the whole point of comedians?
And the same holds true in schools.
Everybody's
afraid of offending somebody else. You can ask my wife. I don't care.
Yeah, I come with a disclaimer. It always gets a laugh. Even when I met my husband for the first time, I met him on a dating site back in the day before, well, it was semi-still safe to use dating websites. But I'm German, Irish, military. I am how I am. If you don't like it, go away because I don't change. I will compromise, but I don't change. My core beliefs stay the way they are.
I don't compromise.
I compromise in the sense that, you know, you have your belief, I have my belief. And I'm not going to just disown you because I don't believe in what you believe in. But I'm not going to change.
Hey.
But, you know, but a lot had to do with, you know, being in the military during 9/11 and coming into that atmosphere where, you know, just because you are Middle Eastern, just because you are Muslim, you are a terrorist. And a lot of guys, only because it's a military, there are more guys than girls, came in with this whole mindset that all Middle Easterns were bad. They were out to get us.
Well, it wasn't just in the military.
Right. You know, and I dealt with it a lot, even in my own household with my ex and stuff, was just that, you know, they're Muslim, they're Middle East, they're bad people. And you're going to have good and bad no matter what. It doesn't matter what race, color, or religion you are. A jerk,
right.
A jerk, a jerk. And, you know, the whole concept of what the Quran was so misconstrued, and faith was so taught what the Quran actually represents. And what faith really is in their religion, and what these guys did had nothing to do with faith, had nothing to do with the actual Quran. And, you know, a lot of the Quran actually is taken from our Bible. Basic foundation of all religions are the same. The Jews only believe in the Old Testament.
Right.
And when things happen, we tend to forget that.
Well, we're only looking through blinders.
We look at in the sense of revenge, and we look at, and we end up in this world where we don't look at things open-minded and look at individuals. We look at a concept and we follow a narrative that's been told to us. Now, COVID's another good example of it. And that's a big part of how so many things are shaped based, and our belief systems are shaped based on what we allow to interpret into us and what we perceive in our world.
Yeah, I mean, it happens like that all down through history. I mean, take a look at World War II, whenever Japan bombed Pearl Harbor. All of a sudden, all the Japanese were kicked out of their homes and sent to concentration camps.
You know, I didn't realize this growing up until I got older. But we actually had German POW camps here in the U.S. during World War II. We would ship them here.
Mm-hmm. German and Italian POWs. As a matter of fact, the army base that used to be an army base is called Letterkenny out here, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
The chapel was built by German and Italian POWs. And a lot of people don't know that.
No, they don't. And being German in the U.S. during that time period was horrible. I mean, it was almost as bad as being Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were all considered an enemy of the state.
Yeah, we still are.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, me and James were talking about this the other day. You know, so many people have misconstrued faith in the sense that, you know, we expect God to bring everything to us, for God to fix it, for God to make everything better.
Yep.
There's nothing in the Bible that says God's going to make it better. There's nothing that says God's going to fix it. The only promise God makes is that he will be there by us, to help us, to guide us.
Yeah, he never promised us a rose garden. He just promised us a garden of Gethsemane. Right?
Yeah. You know, somewhere through time we have become lazy in the sense, but run on blind faith, and we believe so much of what we're told, and we don't actually look at it for what it is. You know, everyone, you look at the Bible, and it's not this garden of bliss, and everything is great all the time. The Bible could have been written by Shakespeare. It's really one giant tragedy with a few little romances and feel goods in between.
Mm-hmm.
It's a guide of, it's an actual guide of war and battle. between actual people and your inner self. And that's where our perception is so important to our faith.
Well, we don't take time to listen. That's
no.
The problem. How do you hear God?
You know, some people hear voices, others, you know, instance for like in my world, it's little signs.
How does God tell us to hear him? He says, be still and know that I am God. We have to first become still. We have to still our spirit. We have to still our minds. And he will gird it up. Then we can hear him.
That's the hardest thing to do these days is just be still.
No, you ain't wrong. You know, you were talking about people not listening or reading things. just look at these bills that are being passed in Congress. They're not taking the time to read all 25,000 pages. I wouldn't.
Right?
That's why they make them so long. So you just pass them. You get tired of reading. You just pass them. And they stick crap in the middle and at the end. They never put it at the beginning. It always sounds good at the beginning, but then they start adding this other stuff. And then once the bill's passed, then they start implementing all that. You know, it's... and the people aren't hearing what's being passed.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad things being passed that aren't designed to help the masses, to help in a small group. I know they caught this, our media did, here in Minnesota, they're looking at passing a bill that would require to be a painter to either be an apprentice or certified to paint a house, to paint a room. And unless you're licensed or an apprentice or whatever, you can't buy mass quantities of paint. So all these individuals are handyman, which can only buy a gallon or two at a time, or people who do home improvement themselves. It's not. But these people that put the bill into play are being sponsored by the Painters Union.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
I don't know why they're doing that. Nobody wants to work anyway.
Well, that's the problem is you've got the elite few that are licensed, you know, certified painters, and that's all they do is paint, but they also charge $50, $60, $100 an hour to paint your house. I mean, I agree with being licensed for wiring, plumbing, you know, all the main things that really can damage or something, but has anyone ever seriously been injured? I mean, after the realization of lead paint being bad. Okay. We're in modern times now. From a bad paint job on your house or a wall being painted wrong? I mean, that's the kind of crap that's being done because no one reads the crap.
Yeah.
Hopefully it doesn't pass, because if we are, a lot of small businesses that sell paint, you know, hardware stores, non-pop hardware stores are going to go under. You know, even like organizations like Lowe's, who market to the home improvements. They actually, it's really cool. So it's kind of like Home Depot, where we have them up here called Lowe's. And they offer free classes for families, kids, individuals, on how to do-it-yourself things at home. How to fix your plumbing. How to do this, how to do that. And they hold classes for kids to learn how to make a bird bath, a toolbox, things like that. And it's all free. Even the kits are free.
That's interesting.
But now you have to get kids to want to work. Kids to want to work, you know. One of the meetings that I was in this weekend was about a school. And these kids coming out of college, no work experience, no experience of any kind other than an education, they get mad because they assume because they have this piece of paper that says they graduated from a fancy college, that they deserve to be paid $40, $50 an hour.
Yeah.
But that's like, you know, working at McDonald's at 15, flipping burgers for $16 an hour, but you complain about that hamburger being $6. You know, as we increase minimum wage, everything else has to go up in price to accommodate the offset of the cost of paying people to work.
Yeah, well, people don't realize that.
No.
Or they don't want to.
No. And really, why does a 15, 16-year-old need to make $15, $16 an hour?
I sure didn't.
Oh, God, no. But it used to
be. I was lucky if I made 75 cents an hour.
Yeah.
And even with that, I thought I was rich.
No. I remember being a kid, my grandma would give me a quarter to clean. A quarter per job. So I ended up like making a buck cleaning her house. I thought I was like on top of the world.
Yeah.
Or if the tooth fairy came and you had a quarter or something under your pillow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Not anymore.
No. It was even very rare to find anything for a quarter, even in the gumball machines.
Yeah. When they talk about work ethic, there's no such thing anymore.
No. Oh, me and James were talking about that yesterday. You know, going to a restaurant, you know, you used to get paid crap for being a waitress or a bartender or any service-based industry. You work for the tips. The better the service, the more the tips. Most of the time. You had a few people that were just bad tippers or didn't have the money to tip you. And now your tips are being put directly into your bill. So it don't matter what your service is because they don't have to work for that money.
Yeah. Sound like Congress.
Yeah. And know, that's what I always found ironic about Congress and about our government, is how we've misconstrued faith and religion. You know, when the Declaration of Independence and all this stuff was created, and we have the separation of church and state, it was designed and written, and if you actually read the words, it states flat out, we can't have a single religion. We can't endorse a particular religion over another. And the whole point was is so that, like when Martin Luther came over here, because he was being ostracized and prosecuted for being different than Catholic, that was all it was. It didn't mean to eliminate faith in general. Because our whole Constitution, all of our government is based on faith.
Did you hear anything about this solar eclipse coming up, April 8th?
April 7th, the solar eclipse. Oh, the mass propaganda.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is that they're, like, creating this whole narrative about the solar eclipse to where some areas, they're telling people to stock up because you're not going to have food because people are going to swamp to these areas.
Calling out the National Guard.
It isn't the first and only solar eclipse we've ever seen. People, yes, people flock to certain areas to get to see it. I bought glasses for the kids to wear, and we have the app on our phones so that the kids will be able to see it. But it's just insane the way that they're making this into, you know, a bigger hype than, I mean,
to me, I think a lot of it is scare tactics.
Yeah. But there is something cool about the eclipse. My husband was looking it up the other day. And the cool part was is that during the original or the eclipse last time, it went through all these Salem or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And this year it's going through all these particular cities with the name of Nevaeh.
Nineveh,
yeah. That I thought was cool.
Yeah, you know what Nineveh is in the Bible. Jonah and the whale.
Okay.
You go to Nineveh, and he decided to run away. He was on a ship, and a big storm came up, and the crew actually threw him overboard. And a Leviathan, or whatever you want to call it, a big whale or I don't know what it was, but it was a water creature that swallowed him, and he spent 3 days in the belly of the whale. And then whenever he was spewed out onto the beach, he said, "Okay, Lord, I'll go to Nineveh." And he went to Nineveh, and Nineveh changed. And everybody thinks maybe this is what's happening here. But I haven't heard of anybody going into the belly of the whale yet.
It could be metaphorical.
Yeah. And like I said before, to me, scripture is like an accident being witnessed by 12 people. Everybody's got an opinion as to what happened, and they're all different. So you just have to sort of make up your own mind as to what's happening. And nowadays, who believes the press? Anything can be manipulated. I mean, during the Vietnam War, the counts, body counts, enemy body counts were manipulated. And in 69, whenever they did a count, if we killed as many people as we said we did, North Vietnam would have been empty. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. When you look at the story of Jonah and the whale, you look at it not only in a sense, but, you know, in a philosophical and Bible sense, you could look at it as similar to a resurrection. You know, you look at him being in the belly of the whale for 3 days, like his tomb.
Yeah.
And then he's released to help save the people. You know, similar to what Jesus, you know, came back to help save us. You know, he surrendered himself from everything and entered a new openness he didn't see before and changed his whole path. No, it's the struggles that we overcome. You know, when you look at Jonah and the whale, you know, look at, you know, what we go through every day, and especially as soldiers, all the struggles that we overcome. No, that's our belly of the whale. And we sit down and we finally stop and look at what we went through and change our perspective of how we went through things, that's our release to where we can overcome the obstacles that we're dealing with when we get out.
Well, we are called to become overcomers, or to be, not to become overcomers, but to be overcomers.
Yeah. But we forget that when we're in the trenches and bad things happen all the time. And they may not necessarily happen all the time. It's just they happen a lot, happens at once. And sometimes in some people's lives, those hits keep coming and they don't stop. You know, I used to joke about, you know, my life is Murphy's Law. What can go wrong will go wrong.
Yeah.
You know, I'm one tragedy away from a million-dollar country song. Because that's the way that I redid it, or re-looked at it from a different way. So that because so many bad things kept happening all the time. And so finally, because I like country music. I love country music. And I was sad when Toby Keith passed away.
Yeah, so was I.
You know, one, as a veteran, he did so much for us in just moral support. I mean, the man kept coming to USO tours in the middle of deserts in war zones to sing for us and hang out with us. Hell, he created a battle anthem that, you know, at the start of the war, he gave every soldier a free CD with it on there, you know, American Soldier and Angry American. A lot of us had that thing playing full blast in our vehicles. That was our battle cry. But, you know, and so I started rephrasing it to, you know, I'm so close to a $1 million song because, you know what, bad things happen, but never quite enough bad things happen, or the bad thing was never bad enough that I could write this great country song about and sell it to Toby Keith for $1 million. My way of rephrasing things to make it, you know, yes, bad things happen, but it's not that bad. It could be worse. Because, you know, old school country was all horrible. It was all one giant tragedy. The dog got ran over, you know. The car died. The wife left me, you know.
And if you play it backwards, it all comes back.
That's right. I remember hearing that when I was a kid, my grandma getting mad because I was trying to play her record backwards.
Yeah.
I was like 5 or 6 at the time. She's like, you're going to scratch it. And it was some old Jimmy Dickens record from like the 40s or 50s.
Probably 78 RPM.
Yeah. It wasn't a regular record that, you know, we knew, that I knew of as a record. And she just, gonna wreck it. Don't touch it.
Yeah. We do a lot of stupid things whenever we're kids.
True.
I wish I had some of the albums my mom and dad had from the 40s. It was the Big Bang band area, era.
Yeah. The Glenn Miller and the Andrews Sisters.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I got it one time and pulled a couple of them out and used them as target practice.
Oh.
Yeah.
You were in trouble. I love
you. You just say I didn't do that again.
I bet not. Now, did you sit for a week? Or were you not allowed to? Were you able to sit for a week?
Was I able to sit?
Yeah.
For a week? Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah.
No. I got pounded pretty good.
I bet. Got your hide tanned a little bit there?
Oh, it was, yeah. It rolled it up pretty good, yeah. I think I had to lay you on a pillow.
Son likes their music, likes that music. He loves listening to big band music. He's an old soul. But, you know, the Anderson sisters, or Andrew sisters, actually came from Minnesota here.
Are they the ones that sang Bugle Boy, Company B?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah?
Yep.
Huh? Yeah. I love that song.
That one and Chattanooga Choo Choo?
Mm-hmm. And I like the old crooners, too, like Bing. Whenever that, the song I'll Be Home for Christmas came out. It was released a couple of days after Pearl Harbor, and it was not received well. But 2 months later, the everybody in the military, a lot of people in the military, were listening to it and requesting it whenever he would go on tour in Europe. The first thing they would request was that song.
It's one of those timeless classics that is not Christmas without that song.
Yep.
Oh, we still request that song when we're overseas. You played that one a lot during Christmas.
Yeah. Anybody who's away from home at the time can relate to it.
Yeah. Then again, I was going to say that's when back when music actually had a meaning, when, you know, express something.
Yeah, they don't make them like that anymore.
Not very often.
Yep. Yeah, you were talking about the suffering hardships of military life. I think I said this last week. 2 Timothy 2:3. Paul was writing to Timothy. He said, "Suffer the hardships that I have suffered as a good soldier of Christ." You know, and even though we have been and of associated with the physical military, we are all in a spiritual military.
Yep.
And those of us who have been in the military physically know the hardships that come with serving. And I went in whenever I had no idea what the word servant meant.
Yeah, me too.
So, but I do now. And even though I try to make up for it, I know I can't. There's nothing I can do that will ever repay. We have to understand the hardships and understand that no matter what military we're in, there's always general orders. Always.
Correct. Well, hell, even at home, you have the general orders.
Yeah.
Well, there should be at least, because the new parenting style is gentle parenting or whatever, and it's basically kid-led parenting. Guide your child. You don't instruct them.
Yep.
Give them all the choice. And I'm in the middle. It's okay to give them choices, but it's more important to narrow those choices down and let them and direct them. Be the parent.
Yeah. This thing is letting the child rule your life. No, that's not good.
Wow. And you wonder why you have kids out of control these days. You know, when you're talking about, you know, the hardships and stuff in the military, and I think back, you're surrounded by people all the time. That was like sometimes a part of the military that drove you nuts. You are never, ever alone. But yet...
Yeah, no privacy.
It's also one of the loneliest places because you're not around family.
Yeah.
You know, especially when it comes to getting like cards and letters from home and you were one of them that didn't have that family or didn't have that support. You never received anything. No, it's that double-edged sword where you can be in a group surrounded by people but still be that outsider looking in and feeling that loneliness.
Mm-hmm. I remember writing home saying, man, even though I'm surrounded by a bunch of guys, I'm still lonely.
And that's the big part of where faith comes in and having that, you know, faith and that service to go to and talking to that chaplain. It gives you that, fills in that blank a little bit more. Not completely, but enough to keep you going.
But at the time, we didn't understand that. At least I didn't.
I didn't until after.
Yeah.
Years and years after.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I want to, before we run out of time here, I got an email from a person on Thursday. And they asked if Blog Talk Radio, Reveille, actually has grief counseling.
I can help with that. Send them my information.
Okay.
That's what I do.
You're a grief counselor?
I work in mental health. I work with grief. It's a lot of times with trauma and things like that.
I'm an encourager and an empath. I think I told you that in Reboot.
You being an empath is a hard life. My daughter is. But ironic as it is, I don't know if I mentioned it last week, but my husband's first cousin passed away last weekend. And he was basically my kid's adopted grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were walking on eggshells trying to figure out how to tell my daughter what happened. And when we finally told her about it, she looked at him and she goes, I know, Mom. Grandpa Butch came and said bye to me. We'll see him again in heaven. And she took it so... And she's not one to bury things. Sometimes we wish she would. She's a very emotions on your sleeve kind of kid. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
it's just over the top, but she's handled it well. She goes, you know, God's watching him now. And she uses her faith as her support system to help her. She understands that the stuff way better than a lot of adults do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just send them my information and have them, tell them to give me a call. If I don't answer, leave a message and I'll call them back.
But
yeah, the Hope Collection and Courage Rising offer a full range of support when it comes to mental health, from grief to trauma.
Yeah, I always, I never understood what my if you want to call it a spiritual gift, giftings were, but I always had to be careful and encourage people, but I could feel their spirit. Even in their happiness, I can tell when they have a mask on or just trying to get along. And that, like you said, that's hard. I mean, I buried that for so long. And it wasn't until just recently, a couple of years ago, it started coming out again. And I said, oh, man, not this again. But I accepted it now. I enjoy encouraging people.
And it's a weight lifted off your shoulders, just being able to feel and not having to walk on eggshells to walk it. And that's the hard part about it. And, you know, you're going against basically all of your training as a kid, even, to open up and allow you to feel. Because, you know, since we're babies, we're taught that the only good emotion is happy. And I talk about this a lot. You know, and people are arguing with me about it. I go, think about it. When your baby cries, the newborn cries, what do? You change his diaper, you pick him up, you shove a bottle in his mouth, or give him a plug. You shut them up. As a toddler, they cry. You tell them to stop crying. Use your words. Or you tell them it's going to be better. You're going to make it better. And it keeps going down. You know, and being a guy, it's even harder because you're told that boys don't cry. Only girls cry.
Yeah.
You know, big boys don't cry. You know, or you're called a sissy or a pansy or, you know, something else. Unless something tragic happens and you're allowed to cry. But, you know, men were always taught and raised to bury all the emotions. They're supposed to be the protectors of the family. They're supposed to be this, you know, statue of someone that protects and deals with everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes a lot.
That is a lie.
And y'all carry a lot on your shoulders. And in my house, it's reversed. I'm the one that has to deal with everything, handle everything, take care of everything. My husband's the one that kind of panics and freaks out when things happen. Down.
Mm-hmm.
But it gets overwhelming. And to have to learn that it's okay to feel and it's okay to take a step back for a second and breathe and not have to, and, you know, being in the military, it's even worse. You've got, you know, a triple whammy there because you're taught to power through everything. And that's where a lot of us struggle when we get out because, you know, all the deaths that we deal with, all the tragedies. We never got to deal with it in real time as it happened, like you do as a civilian. You buried it, and you have all these buried things stuck there. And now it all floods back at once and overwhelms.
Yeah, like a volcano.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, did you ever hear of Twyla Paris?
Mm-hmm.
She's a Christian singer. She had a song out back in the late 80s, 90, early 90s, I think, called The Warrior Is a Child. Man, that was my theme song. And listen to the work, man. That'll definitely do everybody good. It did me good.
You know, back then I was more of a Michael W. Smith fan.
Still am.
But, yeah. But if you listen to a lot of the old Christian music, it tells a story of something. But it's more about the perseverance going through those issues. But, you know, we need to start bringing back some of that old music, just, you know, back and listen to it again.
Yeah. I do all the time.
I do.
The only thing that keeps me going.
You know, it's like where I live, we don't get radio stations very well. So we actually don't get a chance to listen. We listen to, you know, internet radio and YouTube and things like that. And so, but when we were traveling the other day, we actually had a radio station in the car. And it was weird because it was the oldies station. And when I was growing up, the oldies were like the 40s and the 50s and the 60s. And now they're playing 70s and 80s music. Like, when did this become oldies? This isn't old.
I'm trying to figure out when I became an antique.
Yeah, I have no idea. Star of Desert Storm? The Star of Desert Storm?
Start a Desert Storm. No. I was probably an antique long before that.
I could go back farther to, you know, the days of Aquanet, neon leg warmers, and stupid aerobic music.
Yeah.
Okay.
One thing you'd never catch me in is a Speedo.
You're
ain't
not European?
No way. Huh?
You're not European?
No. I'm Asian.
I watch a lot of Korean and Japanese and Chinese shows. On like Netflix and Hulu and things like that, because one, they're good, but they're wholesome. It's not where I have to watch a bunch of crap.
Mm-hmm.
And I always find it funny because they always make fun of Americans in the sense, and it's not in like this put down American way. It's, you know, their comment is, "Are you raised in America?" Because someone wears their shoes in the house. we don't wear our shoes here on the house here. You know, even hotels, you don't wear your shoes once you enter the room.
Right.
And I always find it funny is that their little quip to insult America is about us wearing our shoes.
Yeah.
But it makes sense in a way. I mean, think of how dirty your shoes are and you run around in your house with them.
You bet you. I went to the Japanese restaurant out in Los Angeles. I was out there visiting my my sister's brother-in-law. And he took me to a Japanese restaurant. And we had to sit on the step and take our shoes off, put them in a bin, and then we could walk in and sit down at the on the floor and order.
Yep.
That was interesting. I'm learning Japanese now. I mean, I was never allowed to learn it growing up. And I guess the reason why I'm doing that is language. To forget your language is to forget your heritage.
Yeah.
Because language has such a rich, deeper meaning spiritually and physically.
Which is part of the reason, you know, I speak German. My family came over here from Germany. Part of us fought on the American side during World War II. Part of us fought on the Nazi side during World War II. And I'm working on teaching my kids to speak it. My son does it better than my daughter. She decides she wants to learn Spanish. But we are not teaching where we came from. Our family heritage.
Right.
You know, my husband's a perfect example of that. You know, we live in the town.
There you go.
Give me a water, please. Yeah.
Okay.
His family actually helped found this town that we live in. This town is the oldest in Steele County and one of the oldest in southern Minnesota. It's a historic town, and he knows nothing about it and knows nothing about his family.
Hmm.
Because his dad passed away before he could talk to him about it, and his mom refuses. She don't care. She's just one of those that fills in the blanks if she doesn't know the information.
Well, you can always go to the library.
Well, he's slowly... Yeah, he's starting to slowly look into it, but, you know, it doesn't help that he doesn't know a lot of the names of his family, and he's got the most common name known to man next to Smith. He's a Lee.
What you can do is go to the library, historically, to the historical records, and just look for his name, and then work backwards.
Yeah, that's what he's doing. And we did the DNA test, the ancestry one, and we're working on, you know, putting all the pieces together. But, you know, the sad part is that, you know, you get the names to go with it, but you don't get to hear the stories.
Right, right.
You know, especially because this town burned down twice. But we're so quick now to erase our history. And I don't care if you don't want to go to class. Go get your computer. Turn it on. You have 15 minutes. I don't blame her for not wanting to go to class. She's very empathic. And her teacher that she works with, we're changing her out. But she preys on that aspect of things. So literally she's gotten her anxiety. She's always had anxiety issues, but now it's becoming extreme to the point that mm-hmm. she's starting to itch and scratch.
Well, that sounds familiar.
And yelling at her to the point that it sets me off. To sit there, stare at the screen, focus, do this, sit still. Like, my God.
Yep. Wow.
It drives me nuts.
Today was, yeah. Did we go over today?
We did.
This is a good day to talk.
It is.
I like that.
It's always a sign of a good show when it runs over and it just flows.
It's awesome.
And, you know, the cool part is really we don't plan anything prior to the show.
Right.
You know, we don't we don't sit for hours discussing what we're going to say, how we're going to say it, put a script together for both of us. Can I go? No, it just flows.
Can I go upstairs?
But we are out of time for today because I got to go make sure she logs into class before I get another nasty phone call from the school. Send that gentleman a response back with my information and I can help him. And if
okay.
I can't, I know people that will. That's the cool part is we're connected with a bunch of professionals from all different areas. So if I don't specialize in what he needs, I know people that do.
Okie dokie.
Join us back here next Monday at 9 a.m. Eastern for Revely in the Morning. Have a good day. Have a good night. And we'll see you back here. Bye for now.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Optimize My Life Radio. We hope you found today's show insightful and empowering. Remember to follow us on social media at Optimize My Life for updates, additional resources, and to stay connected with our community. Join us back here tomorrow at 12 p.m. Eastern for another enriching episode as we continue our journey towards a more fulfilling and optimized life. Until then, take care, and remember to make each day count.